The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Everybody, Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend Ray Allen, Ray Engineering and producing our show. Together, we welcome you to the Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show, December the 19th, 2017, coming to you from AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's voice. Our live line number is 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, we're going to begin with Alan Young. Alan is the executive director of the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, which is coming up 1 week from this Friday at 3:30 in the afternoon at Arizona Stadium. Alan, I think this is the third year you've really hit a winner here.
Oh, we're so fortunate.
I mean, not that the first 2 years didn't do well, but this is going to be a big deal.
Well, it's grown, and it's grown, Bill, from a vision into a reality, something people can see, and something our communities and the football industry and college football and the teams that come here have seen and has just helped us grow. But this is going to be a good year.
We had a bowl here for a few years, the Copper Bowl, then that went away. And how did all of this come about, the Arizona Bowl? How was the incarnation of this bowl? How did it come about?
Well, there's a few of us that knew a bit about the college football post-game industry, as well, and then we were able to see that Tucson was just ripe for something like this. We got together with our chairman, Ollie Farhang, Mark Irvin, Fletcher McCusker, some other people in the community, kind of shared that vision that we could make this happen. And fortunately, we first started off talking to the U of A, who was 100% in support of us having the game in their stadium. We went to the conferences and got the Sun Belt Conference and the Mountain West Athletic Conferences to allow us to have teams from their conference to participate in the game. We certainly got the community support. But boy, we got very lucky when we got Nova Home Loans to be our title sponsor, which is real important in the bowl business. So, Bill, everything came together for us to put this game on. And certainly, again, like I say, the community support for volunteers for sponsorships has been phenomenal.
Well, in the bowl business, you want teams that travel well. And certainly, you've got the dream team for traveling well. You have New Mexico State University, the Aggies, against the Aggies from Utah State, two teams that have not met in a bowl game in 57 years. So this is going to be a rematch of their battle in the Sun Bowl. But Utah State has been to other bowls, but New Mexico State, it's been a long dry spell.
Well, it has, the longest in history of any team not going to a bowl game. But so they're just giddy about it. The fact that they haven't been anywhere, that they're on the rise, that they live 3.5-4 hours from our stadium is all points to a lot of people coming to this game.
And it really helps our hotel industry in that in-between period between Christmas and New Year's.
It does. It's a downtime for the hospitality industry in our city. It helps that. It helps so many ways. But just the economic impact that a bowl provides, that we provide to Southern Arizona in people coming and renting cars and buying foods and hotel rooms, and it all adds up to economic impact, which means better tax benefits for all of us.
We're speaking with Alan Young. Alan is the executive director of the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl, which kicks off. I like the kickoff time, not too late, not too early. 3:30 is a good time this time of year, especially for the TV cameras getting beautiful pictures of the Catalinas.
Absolutely. And though the weather at the game
should be perfect.
Ideal. So it's all going to point to a good experience.
So how many people do you think New Mexico State will bring?
Well, it's hard to say. There's so many ticket programs out there for New Mexico State people to buy tickets, and I would guess probably close to 15,000 just coming from the Southern New Mexico area.
Mm-hmm. And so last year's attendance, was a bit over 30,000. This year, you hope to have at least over 40.
We do. I think we're going to sell out, Bill. I think we're getting awfully close to the 45,000 capacity for this game.
Tell me a little bit about where the money, the proceeds go from the Arizona Bowl.
Sure. We've dedicated to the net proceeds of this game to go to charities, to just give to back to Southern Arizona, and whether it's the Boys and Girls Club or the Children's Hospital, the teachers. We've got an unbelievable program, Bill, where we call it the Heroes Program, where our sponsors can buy tickets. Individuals can buy tickets, give them back to us, or we give them to them, and then they give them to our what we call heroes, which are teachers, first responders, and soldiers. And so we gave out about 13,000 seats last year to these Heroes programs. So it's that type of thing. It's that type of giving back that we want this bowl to be all about.
How about the price point for the bowl, your tickets?
Sure. We think it's very reasonable. It's starting at $25. So you buy a ticket for $25 up to $200 for special areas. And that gets you into the game, not only the game, but the pregame party, the tailgate party, which is out front, that starts at 11 o'clock that day, has a lot of food and drink. It's the Desert Diamond tailgate party that is free as long as you have a ticket. And then at about 1:30, we have the group Neon Trees that'll perform at the pregame party. And so for $25, you can get into the game, the pregame party, and just have an exciting football day.
You were associated with the Fiesta Bowl in some of the earlier years, the Fiesta Bowl. Do you see similarities of what's going on with the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl and the early days of the Fiesta Bowl?
I really do. And that bowl has flourished, and now they have two bowls up there that flourish because of the community support, the buy-in by the sponsors, by the volunteers that are needed to run a bowl game. And I think we've done the same thing here, Bill. The volunteer support, the corporate sponsorships of our game is similar to that, and the successful bowls have been grown organically like this, and we see nothing but more growth in the future.
What kind of an economic impact could you put a price tag on what you think might happen here?
Yeah. Well, I think last year was with the 33,000 people, roughly 6,000 people coming from outside of our community to that game. We think this could be double that with all the people coming from Utah State and New Mexico State. So if we put a $40 million economic impact on that, that just trickles down to mean a lot of taxes. A lot of people come in here. We see people come in here that want to come back every year, whether they're with their bowl team or not. Bill, we see people that come back and want to buy homes here, and even businesses coming and transferring their businesses to here to start up. So it benefits in a lot of ways and hopefully grows.
And, of course, TV coverage is a big package that is so important to these games.
Sure. It's all about branding Southern Arizona, about branding Nova Home Loans, and for the nation to see our community and to see these sponsors is what it's all about.
Where can people get a hold of tickets, Alan?
Good question, Bill. You can get tickets on our website at NovaArizonaBowl.com.
Mm-hmm. And again, that's a good price point. 25 gets you into the game, but then you've got really a fun kind of concert in the pregame.
Pregame concert, and we've got a concert the night before in Armory Park, a block party, and the night after the game, the University of Arizona sponsoring the block party the night before the game and after the game with the rock group Flock of Seagulls.
All right. Yeah. Alan Young, thank you very much. Good luck with the bowl game. The Nova Home Loans bowl game, Arizona Bowl, is kicking off 3:30, 1 week from this Friday at Arizona Stadium. Alan, all the best to you.
Always a pleasure, Bill.
Thank you very much. This portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by our friends over at Green Things. They are getting ready for the holidays, and they want to help you with all of your holiday decorating. Of course, the poinsettias that they have over there are some beautiful flowers. They've got, they had thousands. They've still got enough to take care of your needs. Rito, by the Rito Riverwalk, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. They're just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go by and say hello to Jan and Jack. They do a great job there on their 13 acres at Green Things. Coming up on 12:15 on the Buckmaster Show, Shelley Fishman, our certified financial planner, has our regular Tuesday Money Maker Report right after this.
This is Paloma Santiago with San Miguel High School. How can you help underprivileged youth in our community? An education at San Miguel is their only opportunity to escape a life destined for failure. Our students take a full college prep class while working meaningful jobs, earning nearly 40% of their school tuition. San Miguel gives hope and opens doors to the future for young men and women. You can learn more at sanmiguelcristorey.org. That's San Miguel, CRISTOREY.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects helping make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient, and improved mobility leads to a better economy and new jobs through the increased flow of people, goods, and services. More efficient access gets us to where we want to go faster, and that means more time for family. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov. For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from top national columnists, plus Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Wednesday, a newsmaker interview with TUSD Superintendent Gabriel Trujillo. Also, we'll talk with David Sefier, who writes about education for the Tucson Weekly. It's Buckmaster. We're on during the noon hour on Tucson's Voice, AM 1030 KVOI. And of course, we have our worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor professional. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And what do you say we consult with Shelley Fishman right now? Hello, Shelley. How are you?
Hello, Bill. I am here. I am wishing you a Merry Christmas. And I guess this is our last show together.
Yeah, it is, because I like to take off the day after Christmas. So I've got a little bit of a four-day weekend. We'll have some great special shows. But, you know, the day after Christmas is traditionally known as Boxing Day. Now, we're not talking about getting out the fists and boxing. It's a British holiday that started in Great Britain, and that's when everybody box up their gifts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, we'll be off next Tuesday. That means we'll see you next, the day after the new year. So this
2018.
That's it. So we'll be in 2018. So this is kind of our last Moneymaker report of 2017. So it has been a stellar year, to say the least.
Yeah, we're going to wind up with a 20% year.
Wow.
On the Dow and the S&P, completely unforecast, but based upon the optimism for corporate profits that could easily kind of be I want to say blamed, but credited to this tax reform. We've had a really good run, and for those people who are allocated in a risk-heavy allocation, namely in equities, they've done awfully well.
Before we talk about allocation, of course, the big news today, the tax vote is coming up. Apparently, the Republicans do have enough votes to pass
the tax.
It's
happening as we speak.
Yeah, and there will be then perhaps even a signing ceremony as early as tomorrow. Now, what would the implications be for, I guess this will be for the 2018 tax year?
This will start in the 2018 tax year.
Yes.
There are some ways being published already to take advantage of the fact that there will be some strategies you could employ to bring some expenses into 2017 because they may not be deductible in 2018. But for most of us, that's not going to be a big deal.
Michael Bloomberg's op-ed,
scathing
op-ed against this tax bill.
And keep in mind that Bloomberg cannot be accused of being anti-business. He's probably got the best research outfit in the world on business, and he's very pro-business and publishes, you know, Business Week and stuff like that. He was excoriating this tax bill, basically saying it's not going to cause growth, number one, or if it does, just a little bit. And number two, it's ignoring the real problems in the long term that the country has to deal with. He's very upset about the fact that it's going to make the debt worse, and that it might wind up, in order to be paid for on the backs of those people who can least afford it. So his you want to call it an op-ed, it was actually an editorial within the Bloomberg site itself, was very, very negative. I agree with Bloomberg completely on this. I think this is not a good idea, but we're going to do it.
Yep, we're going to do it.
And we're going to see what the results are. I think what we're going to see is that as the middle class tax cuts begin to expire, regardless of who's in charge in Congress, whether it's the Democrats, who of course will not let middle class tax cuts expire, or the Republicans, who promise that they'll renew them, those things will continue. The problem is, the minute you do that, you take a $1.5 trillion deficit caused by the bill, and now you're up to maybe $3 trillion deficit, and guess who's going to pay for that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's going to come out of entitlements, and so we are not being fiscally sound in doing this. Reducing the corporate tax down to 21% looks like where it's going to wind up is probably not a bad idea. The Obama administration looked to cut it to 28%, but it was paid for. So now we have a cut that is not going to be paid for, unless you believe that this is going to cause growth in the economy that is a lot larger than the growth that would have occurred normally. And there's almost no economists believe that that's going to happen. Bloomberg points out in his editorial that right now, and we've been saying this, but I've been using a number of about $1.5 trillion sitting in cash equivalents on corporate books. Bloomberg has better information than I do. He thinks the number is $2.3 billion.
Whoa, so a lot of money on the sidelines.
That's money on the sidelines, and it's not going to be invested if there's not demand, and there's nothing to really indicate that demand is going to go any higher than it already is.
With the market showing that kind of double-digit 20% gain for the year, what about proper allocation? Should folks take a look at this time of year and maybe readjust the asset allocation?
Yeah, that's a great question, Bill. And let me say that there is very little unanimity of opinion among investment advisors what proper allocation should be. You can, especially as people get older, the normal allocation that's recommended is an allocation that favors fixed income over risk or equities. However, what you read is that in almost any period of time that you say would stretch a retirement over 20 years, 25 years, and take a look at, place that 25 years anywhere in history you want to after World War II. And regardless of the fact that there have been, 9 or 11 recessions since World War II, that if you had been in a 70-30 allocation heavily into equities rather than bonds, you would have made out better. Mm-hmm. Now, that violates all the rules, except that the one exception to that rule is if you live a very, very long time, or if the periods of time in which you really need the money falls into a period of downturn in the markets. Mm-hmm. But for most market histories during the past 60 or 70 years, that hasn't been true. So it really is very important to have very detailed conversations with your advisor before you decide, off a 20% year and you've got me allocated 30% equities, I'd have done much better in bonds.
Right.
You're a bad advisor.
Yeah, yeah.
So those kind of discussions happen when we have very good years like this.
Can you take a quick call?
Sure.
Chuck has called us at 790-2040. Hi, Chuck.
Hello. Hi, Shelley.
Hey.
Shelley, when you talk about the deficit and this tax cut could raise the deficit another anywhere from $2 to $3 trillion. And the Democrats, of course, are screaming bloody murder. But yet when Obama was our president, he ran up 12 additional trillion dollars of debt. But I didn't hear them screaming then.
Well, actually, they did scream. And Obama reduced the deficit as a percentage of GDP. But remember what Obama inherited. He inherited a huge recession that made it very necessary to do deficit financing. I think most Democrats, and I'm one, agree that spending is important, but you need to pay for that spending. And so when you start doing deficit spending with no hope of recovering that money, long term, you get into trouble. Now, what's weird is we don't really know what's safe and what isn't safe. We're at about 70 or 75% of GDP in debt right now. It's forecast to go up a little bit. We've seen debt as high as 103, 105% of GDP, and that didn't sink the country. We really don't know what the critical number is. What we do know is if interest rates go up and that debt becomes more and more expensive, even if we don't increase it, it becomes harder and harder to pay back, and it will have the effect of causing inflation and causing the government to need to cut back on spending. So I think Democrats and Republicans, in an honest moment, probably both agree that we've got to do something about this deficit. They don't agree for a minute on how to solve that problem. But Chuck, you're absolutely right. During the Obama years, the deficits went up. During the Bush years, they went up. During the Clinton years, they went down. We historically, except during World War II, have not seen deficits this large. And it's going to be interesting to see how we manage our way through them.
All right, Shelley, a few remaining few seconds. See your talk with your financial planner, because this is a time of year, really, we were just talking about the asset allocation. Maybe the 70-30 formula isn't right for you. It's probably not right for everybody.
It's clearly not right for everybody.
Clearly not right for everybody, and everyone has probably and does have a different allocation.
And one of the things, if you're going to get more aggressive,
right,
and you're in a retirement or close to retirement, then you need to agree that during down periods, you have to cut back on spending. If you're willing to do that, then you can ride through the down periods and you'll probably be better off. But if you're not willing to make those adjustments in your daily living expenses, then you could get into big trouble if you're overly aggressive and the market tanks.
All right, Shelley, have a wonderful holiday. We'll see you in the new year.
You
see
bet.
You in
Happy
2018. Happy New Year. We'll be right back.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of Securities America or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner and investment advisor in private practice here in Tucson. Securities offered through Securities America, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Advisory services offered through PFG Advisors. Securities America and PFG Advisors are separate entities.
Hey, it's Mark Irvin hanging out here with my pal, Ollie Farhang. Ollie, got one question for you. What time is it?
Woo! It's game time, Arizona. On December 29th at 3:30 p.m., it's the Utah State Aggies versus the New Mexico State Aggies.
Ollie, I understand these teams don't even like each other.
It's been 57 years of bad blood, and we're going to settle it on December 29th at Arizona Stadium.
So, New Year's Eve's coming early to the old Pueblo.
Mark, on December 28th in downtown Tucson, we're going to have the University of Arizona Downtown Block Party presented by Rio Nuevo. And on the 29th, before the game, there's going to be the Desert Diamond Tailgate Festival with neon trees. After the game, it gets even better. You go right back downtown where Flock of Seagulls will be performing at the postgame party.
So where do people get more information?
Go to NovaArizonaBowl.com.
So all the net proceeds of this game go to charities. Isn't that cool?
Cool. It's awesome. And special thanks to our friends at Arizona Party Rental.
Thanks a lot, Ali and Mark. We'll see everyone at the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl. This is Ken Flower, an Arizona Party Rental production.
Enjoy the most magical time of the year with friends and family at Tohono O'Toole's annual Holiday Nights. Listen to musical performances as you stroll through the gardens decked with over a million twinkling lights. Holiday Nights takes place the first three Fridays and Saturdays in December from 5:30 to 8:30. Shop local this holiday season. Our museum shops are full of local art and unique gifts, including annual memberships to Tohono O'Toole. Tickets and event information are available at tohonootool.org/holidaynights.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
For almost 40 years, the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona has worked with individuals, families, businesses, and nonprofits to create a stronger community. We connect you with the causes you care about, transforming your vision for our community into meaningful, charitable impact. Make a difference now and forever. Please visit cfsaz.org or call 520-777-0800 to learn more about the Community Foundation for Southern Arizona. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Mm-hmm.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show presented by our friends over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. We send so many of our listeners over there. In fact, one of our Facebook friends was on their way to Silver City yesterday and asked me for some quick advice about what to do. And I gave a suggestion, why not see the world's most beautiful collection of Mimbres pottery, which is on display at Western New Mexico University in Silver City, and they were going to head over and check it out. So lots of great ideas available for things to do on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. They also have the full list of things, great places to stay. Let's welcome now one of our fine Buckmaster Show contributors on this program, 24 contributors. I'm so proud of these people. Dr. Robert Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education. He was a one-time Arizona Top School Superintendent of the Year, former superintendent at Flowing Well School District. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
Interesting news release from Grand Canyon Institute. That's the nonprofit group that is based up in Phoenix. It's a nonpartisan public policy think tank group that was founded, and George Cunningham is still the chair of that organization. He's been in, had been in Arizona government for many years, and basically they were talking about charter schools. I didn't realize that charter schools now have been operating in this state, Bob, for more than 20 years.
Correct, correct. And that's quite a lengthy report. I mean, it's over 3 years of study. And I would, before we talk about some of the details, I would really encourage your listeners to download that report if they want to read more information, because it provides many very specific examples to support the premises that they present in this document.
And one of the premises is that there really hasn't been the kind of reform and oversight to the charter school business in Arizona, which is currently enrolls about 16% of the state's K through 12 student population and receives over $1 billion in public funds each year. I had no idea that number was so high. And I want to underscore that
term public funds, because charter schools are not private schools. Charter schools receive their money from the public taxpayer base. And so why would we be interested in this report? And also another report that recently came out from the ACLU, which talks about how is this money being spent? Because this is the listener's money. This is your money. This is my money. And so we have every right to know that it's being spent diligently and, you know, with proper care. And so the Grand Canyon Institute looked at 20 years of funding, and they came up with several recommendations. I'm just going to run through them. I know we're short on time, but one thing they said was that charter schools should be subject to the same public competitive bid process that public school districts are required to follow. And in this report, they actually give some very disturbing examples of what I would call insider dealing, where contracts
Nepotism in some cases.
Yes, contracts are given to relatives, or in the case of for-profit companies, they give it to themselves. And there's all sorts of interesting arrangements. And when you talk about trying to save money or being efficient, this is not the way that you do that. Another recommendation is that they felt that charter schools should justify their executive and administrative salaries because when you compare them to what school districts are paying their leaders, it's significantly different. They give numerous examples of where charter school administrators are paid exceedingly high. In one case, there's a director of a 90-student school that's being paid a comparable salary to a public school superintendent that has 23,000 students.
Oh, my God.
And so that really needs to be looked at. And again, this has not really been fettered in any way. And so they're raising the question, should there be some accountability here? And again, we hear about administrative costs in the public district sector. Should there not be the same standard applied to charter schools?
And why were these standards not equally applied when the whole charter school thing came on board 20 years ago?
I think there's a very good reason. Initially, it was thought that charter schools ought to have more autonomy, that they ought to be free from I remember Representative Dan Schottel used to say they ought to be free from the grip of public accountability. I don't think he meant no accountability, but there was a sense that charter schools could be subject to less regulations, less rules. But when we talk about financial accountability, I think that's a whole different wavelength.
That ACU, the American Civil Liberties Union of Arizona, their report that came out in September, very troubling statistic, Bob Hendricks. 77% of charter holders use their state taxpayer funds for potentially questionable financial transaction where the operators of charters contracted with themselves or related parties in a manner that was not cost effective.
Well, it's disturbing. And I think
and that same practice would be illegal for district schools.
Right. And I think we need to point out the fact that this very lengthy report ends by saying that the practices themselves are not illegal. They're not suggesting that they're illegal. They're suggesting that they have flaws and that there ought to be more stringent accountability and that the state legislature ought to take a look at these regulations and the oversight and make it an equal playing field for all.
By the way, the House, this just happened, right, Ray? The House just passed the biggest tax changes in 30 years, so that will then go on momentarily, probably within a few hours, to the Senate. So charter schools, with that 16% enrollment, 16% of the total enrollment, has that been growing or is that figure pretty static, Bob?
It has been growing. It's been growing. And another thing I should point out about the report is that it really does not look at academic achievement. It really focuses strictly on the supply side, the financial side. And I should also point out that the ACLU report particularly takes aim at the number of students that are discouraged because of special disabilities, special circumstances from attending charter schools. And they say that some charter schools are limiting the number of special education youngsters that can enroll. They say that's federally and state illegal. They say that the school must provide special education services to everyone, and that enrollment forms should be not only in English, but should be in Spanish and any other language of the populations that they're serving.
And the whole academic, whether academic achievement versus public schools, well, district schools, because technically they're both public.
They're both.
But that's for another time. We'll have to.
It is. And it's another lengthy discussion.
It is.
Again, I really urge your listeners to read the full report, because there are many, many illustrations of areas where they felt there were discrepancies, and the state legislature needs to address this subject.
GrandCanyonInstitute.org is the place to go for that, to check out that full report. Dr. Hendricks, thank you very much. Hope you and yours have a lovely holiday season.
And same to you, Bill.
We'll see you in January. Thank you.
Great.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Food for the hungry, help for struggling families, and support for the aging. Every day, Interfaith Community Services helps people in need achieve stable, healthy, and independent lives. Hi, I'm Daniel Stalsfus, CEO at ICS. You can help and get a dollar-for-dollar tax credit when you donate to ICS with the Arizona Charitable Tax Credit. Reduce your state taxes up to $800 for a couple or $400 for singles. To donate, go to icstucson.org or call 297-6049. Your help will bring hope and change lives.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority is on track to deliver the remainder of the promised projects in the 20-year plan, now in its 11th year. A recent 10-year performance audit finds the RTA sticking to the plan and schedule. The RTA applauds our members and partners for helping us to stay on schedule and to improve our transportation network for everyone. Working together for a better future, more at rtamobility.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your BBB, here to share two of our 12 tips to a fun and safe holiday season. First tip, do your research by reading product reviews, checking BBB.org for business profiles, and compare pricing. Second tip, don't click on links and promotional emails from senders you don't recognize, and watch out for lookalike domains. To read all of our BBB holiday tips, visit BBB.org/holiday helper. Happy holidays from the entire team at Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona.
What comes to mind when you envision the holidays? If it means surrounding yourself with family and friends as you welcome treasured traditions, just imagine if those moments were paired with sinking your toes in fine white sand and exploring quaint seaside towns. This winter, spend your holiday with a sense of adventure on a family reunion vacation. At Bon Voyage, we specialize in bringing generations together through travel. This is the perfect time to plan. Call Bon Voyage Travel at 797-1110.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Back this week's Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show, sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's Wild and Swinging Holiday Party on December the 21st. Then on Friday the 22nd, The Spirit of Christmas continues with the Fox Theater presenting In the Christmas Mood. That's going to be a holiday music spectacular with Tucson's own Crystal Stark, and New York's Brian Lavario will be joined by a variety of special guests. So that's going to be a fun show. Holiday entertainment certain to put you in the Christmas mood. For more information, to purchase tickets and to see the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule, visit foxtucson.com. Dan Gibson of Visit Tucson is with me in studio. How are you, sir?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for asking. It's been a great year for the arts. It's been really a very good year for Tucson with the downtown resurgence continuing, and tourism overall. Wouldn't you rate this pretty darn good year?
that's actually the technical term we've been using, is pretty darn good year. No, the main statistic we use is a number called RevPAR. It's revenue per available room. It's super wonky, but it just means, like, you take every hotel room in town and how much money did that room make per night, whether it was full or not. You know, you average it over the month, and that's been up 10% every month over the previous year. So the previous year was up over the previous year, and so we're catching up. And obviously, having the brand new AC Hotel downtown has made a big difference. They're sold out not all the time, but most weekends they've been sold out. And there's been weekends this year where we've been looking for hotels for journalists, and we can't always get them because a Star Pass is full or Los Ventana Canyon.
And we had Alan Young of the Nova Home Loans Arizona Bowl saying they're expecting at maybe 10 to 12,000. I think he said actually up to 15,000 visitors from Las Cruces, New Mexico.
It is distinctly a very big deal. I mean, it's going to be a great game in general, but the fact we were lucky to get a team that hasn't played in a bowl game in so long.
57 years.
Yeah, right. It's actually, it's a rematch. The last time they were in a bowl game.
The Sun Bowl against Utah State.
A little bloody,
57 years ago.
The game was a little ugly. Yeah. But no, it should be great. And we've reached out to our CEO, Brent Durod, has been in Las Cruces working that market. We got some stories in the paper there. We've given it our very best. It's been a great year all around.
But how many hotel rooms do we have in town? You said that there was a formula.
Oh, that's a lot, I believe, is the answer.
Oh, okay. All right.
I think it's like 6,000, 7,000, something like that. It's quite a few.
Anyway, in the arts, we've got a lot of stuff going on this over the holidays.
Well, sure. Yeah. Not as much as normal,
things slow down a little bit.
It's true. Yeah. That's what I was going to say, the Big Bad Voodoo Daddy show. If you want to catch a last-minute holiday experience, that's one of the few Christmas events that's still happening. So
jumping and jiving tour, you could call it.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Whole family can enjoy Big Bad Voodoo Daddy.
It's true. I would give people a preview. This is one of the things I'm most excited about. January 4th at the Loft Cinema, they're showing The Apartment, which is an incredible movie. Mm-hmm. The starring Jack Lemmon. But in this case, Chris Lemon, Jack Lemon's son, will be there to talk about his father and experiences he had with his father. Of course, Shirley MacLaine's in that movie as well. Fred McMurray, one of my Billy Wilder film, one of my favorites. So that's at 7 p.m. on January 4th. Then on January 6th and 7th, Jack Lemon will be presenting his one-man show about his – or Chris Lemon about his father, Jack Lemon, A Twist of Lemon. At the Burger Auditorium with the Invisible Theater. So if you love, you know, those sort of classic films, if you want to know more about the life of Jack Lemmon, I don't know that much about him. Sounds like an interesting guy. Those are two things worth checking out. A classic Tucson event, the Nacimiento.
Oh, yeah.
At the Tucson Museum of Art. If you have not seen this, this is absolutely one of the sort of Tucson traditions since the 1970s. The Nacimiento is sort of a tiny Christmas scene, a nativity scene, but also some of the things happening around it. It's really detailed and imaginative. It was created in the 1970s by Maria Luisa Tena. The house that it's in at Casa Cardova at the Tucson Museum of Art Complex is actually one of the few first houses and one of the oldest houses remaining in Tucson. It appears on the first map of Tucson in 1864.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So you get a little bit.
That's one of our oldest surviving structures.
Exactly. And the Nacimiento, it's free to see. You don't actually even have to have a museum ticket. But it's available during museum hours, and just go down to TMA and check it out.
I want to get over to TMA during the holidays to see the redo.
Yeah. Here is my tip to you, Bill Buckmaster. You have a library card. Mm-hmm. I'm certain. Go down to the library. You can check out tickets to the museum and go anytime for free.
Whoa.
I mean, they have a limited number of tickets
per
venue, but things like the Mini Time Machine Museum is on there, MoCA, Tucson Museum of Art, U of A Art Museum. So that's a free thing if you're looking for something to do.
I did not know. So it's kind of a museum pass.
Exactly. It's also, I don't know why you would go to Phoenix at all when you have all this here in Tucson, but the Phoenix Art Museum is on there and the Herb Museum as well.
Wow, very nice.
New Year's Eve.
Okay.
It's a big season, plenty of things going on. Hotel Congress, just give you a little wrap up here. They have a Pan Am themed event, traveling the world in 60s style at Hotel Congress. That's their New Year's Eve. Tap and Bottle downtown has DJ Carl Haney, who is a lot of fun, plays a lot of retro music, fun guy. The Rialto has Tucson band Zixa, who are tons of fun, tropical, sort of like big dance fun music thing. Also DJ Dirty Verbs, who's a sort of local DJ legend. Any of those, excellent choices. You mentioned the Arizona Bowl. It's not arts, but I want to make sure people know this is going to be a very good game. People should check it out. Neon Trees is performing before the show. Flock of Seagulls is performing after the show. You may remember them from their hits Iran, Space Age Love Song. They'll be doing the after party downtown. There'll be an event, a downtown block party on the 28th before the game. So plenty to do. I mean, lots of stuff going on in the city. Oh, yes. Tucson Jazz Festival. I want to give that. That was my big these are my and two action items for the day.
When is the Jazz Festival?
It is January 11th through 21st. For the 21st, people will find that some of these shows will sell out. There are still tickets now. But if you wait, you're like, hey, I'm going to go check out Arturo Sandoval. If you wait till a couple days before the show, it will sell out. Many of these shows at the historic Tucson Fox Tucson Theater. Diane Schur is performing there. The Mingus Dynasty Band, Spyro Gyra is performing. It's really an excellent lineup. It should be a really good show.
Well, looking ahead to 2018 in the tourism business, what do you have? Any big? Well, of course, this is prime time coming up here. Really, it's going to start, I think, with all the people coming from New Mexico for the Arizona Bowl.
I think that's really sort of the new entry to the season is the Arizona Bowl. I mean, it's sort of been moving back to the Fort Lowell or the Tucson Association Realtors Shootout, the gigantic youth soccer tournament.
That used to be kind of the bookending with the bookend being the beginning with the shootout in mid-January and then kind of ending after the rodeo.
I'd like to move it all the way back.
Yeah.
Just all the way back. We hosted the Travel Classics West Travel Writers Conference in November, so we had 60 journalists and editors in town, and we're going to see a ton of coverage from that. Big names, papers, and publications you would be like, wow, that's Tucson's going to be in there. So some of those things are happening. A lot of the work we've done in the television space is paying off. Maria Maison, who's the chef at Boca, is going to be on the television show Chopped. I will set it like Shopped, which is not the show. Uh-huh. In January, some other local chefs will be appearing on there. So
the cooking work is paying off.
We've been trying to lay the groundwork. It means I have to eat a lot, so okay. It's something great for me.
Dan Gibson, thank you, sir. Have a wonderful holiday season.
You as well.
The Arts Report on the Buckmaster Show is sponsored by Fox Tucson Theater, presenting one-of-a-kind swing band originals and Yuletide classics from Big Bad Voodoo Daddy's Wild and Swing and Holiday Party. That's coming up on the 21st of December. Then the next night, the 22nd, the Fox has In the Christmas Mood, a holiday music spectacular. And I do want to point out a portion of the proceeds benefit the Diaper Bank, and diaper donations will be accepted at the show. Jack Hanna, Into the Wild. Kids are going to be home on winter break. Make sure you take them over to see America's favorite zookeeper and all his furry friends Sunday, January the 7th. For more information to purchase tickets and to see the full Fox Tucson Theater schedule, visit foxtucson.com. Coming up this afternoon, Ray Allen and Mr. Mike Shaw with Mike Check. From 4 to 5, Wake Up Tucson. Tomorrow, 6 to 9, The Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition. Lots to talk about with the superintendent of TUSD, Gabriel Trujillo, will be with us. On behalf of Ray Allen and Dan Gibson, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Have yourself a great afternoon and evening.